Good morning, honorable members, the department, and guests who are here with us this morning. I wish to welcome you all and declare this meeting open. I think it will be useful before we start with our meeting to quickly run into introducing ourselves as to who we are. And I will start with myself. My name is Dorothy Ramodile, the chairperson of this portfolio committee.
My name is Sarah Peterson Majuna, a member of this committee.
Good morning, I'm Grace Baker, a member of the Digital Committee of this portfolio committee.
Morning, my name is Monty Mamado, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Connie Blair, member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, I'm Denise Robinson, member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, I'm Denise Kekana, member of the committee.
Morning, I'm Manana Tarkin, the member of the committee.
Morning, Jenny Kikana, once more member of the committee.
Morning, my name is Ken Matano, the Kakana's assistant.
Media.
You have everyone introducing him or herself so that we know who we are talking to.
I'm Alicia McKinnon from Independent Newspapers.
Good morning, I'm Kasha Edwin, the Research Committee.
Good morning, Sister Levendor, Research Committee.
My name is Thabo Mukone from the Sunday Times.
Good morning. Good morning, I'm Nasal Piper from the Burger.
Good morning, I'm Harold Mukoka from the Presidency.
Good morning, I'm Ben Sala from the Presidency.
Good morning, I'm Thabo Sitani from the NYD.
Very good morning, I'm Ivan Gubeni from the NYD.
Good morning, I'm Michael Machinini from the NYD.
Good morning everyone, I'm Dolores Makota from the Supreme.
Good morning everyone, I'm Nose Gomel from Comic Section.
Thank you very much. I think it's always wise to know who is here. You know, you feel more comfortable if you know who is here. Unlike, you know, talking to strangers that you don't know. A very welcome to all of you once more. This morning, we are meeting here to get a briefing from the NYDA on their 3-year plan on the budget. We will give them the opportunity to present to us, and thereafter we will engage with them as to how we understand and also how we perceive the plan that they will be giving to us, which obviously will be speaking to the budget. And without wasting any time, I would then invite the department to lead us. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We were invited to appear before the portfolio committee today, and the reason why we are invited to do so was made quite clear to us. And in the communique that we received, it is spelled out that the National Youth Development Agency is expected to present a strategic plan for the financial year 2011 to 2014. Along with that, we are also expected to present a budget to that effect. And that is why mainly we are here. The members of the delegation, they have already introduced themselves, so I will just run into the presentation as required. Before we deal with the nitty-gritties of the strategy, it is very important that we start by characterizing the National Youth Development Agency. We do so simply because we have a feeling that there is a lot of confusion as to say what is it that the NYDA really stands for. So it's important that before this portfolio committee, we emphasize, in particular, the mandate that is given to the National Youth Development Agency. We are a youth development entity, a Section 3A company established in terms of the Act of Parliament. And in terms of that Act, the reason for our existence is mainly to mainstream and integrate youth development solely for the purposes of a sustainable livelihood in South Africa. Our focus area mainly is the youth of South Africa. And we have accordingly spelled out our vision to be that of an integrated and mainstream youth development in all organs of state, in the private sector and the civil society for sustainable livelihoods. Our mission mainly is to initiate, facilitate, implement, coordinate, design and monitor youth development interventions which are aimed at promoting economic participation and social cohesion by the youth as themselves. It's very important, say, that mission be understood properly, because in most instances people think that the NYDA is bringing seeds from heaven and the NYDA brings all the solutions towards the youth developmental problems. But it's very important to highlight especially the keywords in that mission, that we are responsible for the initiation, we are responsible for the facilitation. That means in essence we are inviting all and sundry, all the stakeholders that are involved in the development of the country to also have that level of biasness towards the youth of this country. We are not going to be able to bring all the solutions, but we are saying everybody must take the matters of youth development quite seriously and address the problems that are faced by the young people. Our customers, we have categorized them into three categories in the main. The first category being the unskilled and unemployed. And this group is largely young people who may have matric or dropped out of school, but they do not have any vocational skills. And the second category is skilled yet unemployed, or employed but unskilled, and those who are in skills programs. And the last category, the most interesting category, is the category of the skilled and the employed, and those who are self-employed. And that category is there simply because these are job creators. These are people who create economic opportunities for the others that are affected by the adverse problem faced by young people. So it's another category that we're dealing with. Our approach has got special biasness to the youth from the rural areas, the peri-urban areas, to the out-of-school youth, to the youth living with disabilities, and mainly the unemployed youth of South Africa. Our analysis is that in the market or the customers that we are dealing with as the National Youth Development Agency, it is quite clear that a large sector of our people is unemployed and unskilled. And that tells to us we've got more problems than we are happy. A very small part of our cohort is employed, and these are the people that can further cascade the opportunities to the others. I want to also take you through the strategic objectives, and I must indicate, Chair, that these strategic objectives of the National Youth Development Agency, they are directly derived from the legislation that I spoke about earlier on, the Act of Parliament, but also that are guided by the National Youth Development Policy as adopted again by Parliament, and we were able therefore to come up with these objectives. The first one, the key performance area, being the National Youth Service and Social Cohesion. In the main, that KPA is aimed at promoting social dialogue and to create opportunities for young people so that they can be able to serve in their communities, with an objective of promoting opportunities for young people to serve their communities, to create a platform for young people to participate and benefit from the democratic processes, to develop the capacity building materials for the youth development practitioners, to create and support social networks to benefit the young people. We have another KPA, the economic participation, which is the most important economic participation, because it deals directly with the problems that are faced by the young people in the immediate priority. And the main aim is to enhance the participation of the young people in the economy through the targeted and integrated programs for economic development. And the objective being to promote the business support for the young people, to provide the financial support for the young entrepreneurs, to provide employment opportunities for young people, to design and implement specific interventions for women, persons with disabilities, and youth in rural areas. On policy research and development, the main aim is to develop a body of knowledge and best practice in the youth development sector to inform and influence policy development, planning and implementation by government, by private sector and NGOs. And the objective being to ensure that there is an integrated youth development strategy as envisaged in the legislation that I spoke about earlier on, a strategy that will be able to guide the entire country's development of a young person. The objective being to identify the annual national youth development priorities and provide the government with those priorities so that all the departments, in whatever they do, they can be able to focus their work, particularly biased towards youth development, focusing on those priorities that would have guided the departments and everybody that has got to do with this development on. We are also having an objective of promoting, lobbying, and advocating for uniform approach by all the sectors, as I indicated earlier on, to also conduct some research and evaluations to inform policy programs and interventions so that we can be able to evaluate whether the programs that we had in the past actually did work, and those programs that we are currently having, do they have the necessary impact towards the problems that we are having. We also have an objective to provide inputs and policies and legislation by government and other relevant structures. On training and development, which has got to do mainly with education and skills development, our aim is to promote and facilitate and provide training development opportunities for young people to enhance their socio-economic well-being. This is to enable them to be properly equipped to participate in the economic life of the country. With the necessary skills, we thought that it would be proper for young people and to be simpler for them to take part in the economic life of the country. Our main objective there is to facilitate the education opportunities in order to improve access to quality education. And one example that we cite always is the project that we started with in the current financial year that has got to do with the second chance matric rewrite program to facilitate and implement technical entrepreneurship and life skills training programs that we have always been doing, providing the necessary skills for a young person to be able to be prepared for their adult life. To provide and facilitate capacity building for youth development practitioners, there are those young people that are working with youth development, working on the young people. We need to also focus the skills that they are having and give them the necessary equipment for them to address the problems of the young people appropriately. We also have an objective to facilitate youth development work as a recognized profession. Our aim there is to make sure that youth work is professionalized in this country, and anybody who is a youth development or youth work practitioner is properly registered and subjected to some ethical conduct in terms of the professional conduct that might be developed at a later stage. On youth advisory and information services, our main aim there is to ensure that young people have got access to the information that they need to be effective in the society. That includes career guidance, information on business opportunities, information on job opportunities, and so on and so forth. Where the main objective is to ensure that the young people are properly guided in terms of the careers, that they have access to the information. The National Youth Fund, being another key performance area identified in terms of the legislation, aims to establish a mechanism to enable the National Youth Development Agency to raise the funds for the purposes of advancing and implementing a program aimed at improving the livelihoods of the youth. And the main objective there is to plan and set up a National Youth Fund to mobilize and leverage financial assistance to small, micro, medium enterprises and cooperatives which are owned by the youth, to mobilize and leverage financial assistance to small, micro, medium enterprises. I think that was a repetition there. And on governance in particular, our main aim is to ensure that the National Youth Development Agency complies with the applicable legislation and regulations which are generally governing the Schedule 3A institutions. And being a Schedule 3A institution ourselves, we should be able to comply with all those provisions, be it the PSMA, the Act itself, and the other pieces of legislation that have got a bearing on us. And the main objective is to ensure that we do comply and we implement the system and processes that will increase, in particularly the recoverability of the defaulting loans that we are giving to the young people. So in a nutshell, that is what the NYDA is about, and I urge the members of the committee and the public to also look into the legislation so that they can further understand the mandate that is given to the National Youth Development Agency and what is it that should be basically expected of them. In the next 3 years, an allocation has been given to the National Youth Development Agency, and that allocation totals to $1.2 billion. It is $1.2 billion over 3 years. It is not $1 billion for the next financial year, as some of the people are wrongly reporting out there. We must be able to clearly state that this $1 billion needs to be divided into three, and then you can determine what is it that the NYPA is given per annum. As a matter of fact, in the financial year that we are going to begin next year, the allocation is $385 million. That is what we are waiting on. And informed by these budgetary limitations, we then developed a strategic plan for the next 3 years within the limits and the parameters of that budget. And I'm going to briefly walk through the highlights of the plan, and then I will be indicated to by the houses to say, do I need to drill deeper into details, because the plan is also there. In terms of the involvement of young people in the National Youth Service Program, our plan is to make sure that through our partners, government departments, provinces, municipalities, at least 155,000 young people are involved in the NYS program. But the NYDA also aims at directly implementing an NYS program that will benefit 111,000 young people. So these two figures They need to be combined so that an impact can be seen on what really we are intending. And I must explain that the National Youth Service Program has got three categories in the main, and these categories also need to be understood. For example, there's a category that says a young person is already working, but the young person needs to volunteer in services to the community, or a young person is working as a professional, and the young person is providing those skills that he has so that he can assist the other young people. This is it all forms part of the National Youth Service Program that we'll be delivering. And then there are those young people that are unemployed, and in the programs we give them the skills, in the program we give them the stipends, in the program they also raise the levels of patriotism and altruism towards their communities in South Africa. On economic participation, despite the limitations of the budget, this year we are targeting 26,600 youth which will be supported through the business consultancy vouchers. This is for the next 3 years, by the way. The figures I'm giving there for the next 3 years, they are not necessarily for 1 year. On companies that we are targeting for registration with CIPRO, these are new companies owned by young people that we are intending they should be registered at CIPRO, and they be given the necessary support to sustain themselves as companies. It's about 14,050 companies that we're targeting over the next 3 years. We're also targeting that of the companies that we have assisted and the young people that we have assisted, at least 281 must be able to be assisted to access funds through the voucher program. For example, we must be able through other funders to raise funding for at least 281 young people, those that we would have directly assisted in terms of assisting them building business plans and organizing them as they establish their businesses. We're targeting that business opportunities to a total tune of 331 million shall be created, which will be sourced from the BOSS deal, the voucher support and mentorship program. And 243 million will be set aside to be accessed by youth-owned small and medium enterprises for the purposes of funding their own businesses. And 89,000 jobs in the process over the next 3 years will be created through various programs by the National Youth Development Agency. In all the programs that we'll be engaging on, be it the voucher program, be it the funding for microfinance and so on and so forth, our target is to ensure that at least 89,000 jobs are created for the youth in the next 3 years. On training and development, which I earlier on indicated that has got to do with education and skills, the major highlights have got to do with us organizing an enrollment of over 8,000 young people to rewrite their matric. You know that we have started with a pilot project this year, and we believe that it's going very well. We have high hopes that these young people are going to make it in draft numbers in terms of finishing their matric, given the second chance. And therefore, we feel that more and more young people must be given an opportunity. And in the process of doing that, we are also engaging the Department of Education, particularly of basic education, as well as the CITAS to come on board in assisting and ensuring that these young people indeed, they do make it to pass their matric exam. About 293,000 youth will be provided with various skills over critical areas, such as business management, life skills, and job preparedness. But over and above, we are also having a target of enrolling 4,000 young people on an accelerated training program. Again, this year, we have started a pilot project. We have taken about 500 young people into the program. They've attended this training, and they are being placed in various companies, in various mines. They're given the opportunities to further practice the skills that they would have acquired. And we felt that these are the skills that the country needs the most, and this is where young people can tap into and get employed as a quick win in the process. And therefore, we thought that we should increase the number, having seen the pilot project that is also successful, to about 4,000 over the next 3 years. Our wish is to increase this number to be much more bigger than what we are having, but given the budgetary constraints, it becomes a bit of a problem. And these artisans will be trained in the area of electricity, plumbing, boiler making, bricklaying, and so on and so forth. On youth advisory and information services, our target is to ensure that over 1.6 million young people are provided with career guidance, and in fact they do access the information that they've got to access. And our plan is to ensure that we do this through the partnerships with the municipalities, the establishment of the local youth units in the municipalities. And we must say that despite the limitations of the budget, the municipalities have been able to enter into memorandum of understanding with the NYDA, and they've agreed that as municipalities, we will be able to provide you with the offices, we will be able to provide you with the staff that you are already using for youth developmental issues. All you need to do as NYDA is to come in, give us your material, train our staff on the rendering of your products and services, so that our young people within our municipalities can therefore be able to receive the services that they have got to receive from the National Youth Development Agency. And to that effect, we have already signed over 130 MOUs. However, we are having glitches, being the local government elections fever, and many municipalities are quite reluctant to enter into this agreement. They are saying they are done entering into agreements. They can't commit the next council, and therefore they will wait for the next council to before they actually enter into agreements with us. On the National Youth Fund, the organization will work in partnership with the stakeholders to raise at least 480 million, which will go directly into that. This is over and above the allocation that would have been given by the Treasury. We are intending to raise about 480 million so that we can be able to further leverage the assistance that we have got to give to young persons. Our strategic thematic areas for program interventions will mainly focus on infrastructure, value chain on agriculture, value chain, the green economy, the mining value chain and tourism. I must at this point also indicate that the progress in terms of the development of the integrated youth development strategy is going quite well. We have gone to almost all the provinces for the public consultation where young people, youth formations came in to give their input on what is it that they are expecting to see in the final draft of the IYDS. We have already served the first copy before the cabinet, we have tabled it before the cabinet, and we are anticipating responses to that effect. But we must say that the participation and the level of contribution that we are receiving from the youth of the country is quite valuable, and we believe that the strategy will further shed light as to say what is it that this country needs to do to actually address the problems that are faced by the young people. So it's a very important plan for the youth of this country in the next 5 to 10 years. And the next slide really, Chair, is the details that I've spoken about, the breakdown of all the plans and programs that we are having. You can see in the plan that we are having, for example, on the key performance area number one, which is National Youth Service and Social Cohesion, we have broken down the targets in terms of 3 years. In the first year, we are intending to have about 10,000 young people who will be serving communities through the NYDA-funded project. In the next year, about 48,000. It increases like that as per the allocation that we have been given by the government to implement the development program. So I think I would like to pause a bit and get an indication from the chair as to say, must I go into the nitty-gritties of the plan, or the committee has gotten the opportunity to look into it before we go into the budget itself.
I'll be guided by the committee, but I thought perhaps you should just go straight away to the budget, because in the document already there are breakdowns which will also actually assist us in aligning them to the budget as well. What is the feeling of the committee? Silence means consent. Can you proceed to the budget?
I will then go through the expected projected expenditure over the 3-year term for the National Youth Development Agency. If you look at our sub-programs, Under the voucher program, we expected to spend 25,992,000 rand. This is then expected to be 7.9 million in the year ending 2012, 8.7 million in the year ending 2013, and 9.3 million in the year ending 2014. After that, we have Enterprise Finance Division, and our total for the three-year term is expected to be around an amount of 76,462,000. The breakdown of debt being 23 million in the first year, 25, as well as 27 million in the last year. The total then for other proposed structures within partnerships that we have with other stakeholders, external stakeholders, is 45.5 million, which is an investment coming directly from the NYPA. This being partnerships with the Franchise Fund, which is a business partner enterprise finance division that we have with the Franchise Fund, as well as investment in the F&B Leverage Fund. The total of these funds is then amounting to 45,500,000 rand over a three-year term. An investment in cooperatives is then amounting to 16,550,000. This is a direct expenditure line coming just from the NYTA itself. And then under the National Youth Services, we expected to have a budgeting amount of 164 million over the three-year term. The majority of these is the community service program, as well as educational and skills development. The educational and skills development is amounting to 51,918,000 over the three-year term. The breakdown of that is 15.6 million in the 2012 year end, 17.2 million in the 2013 year end, as well as 18.9 million in the 2014 year end. With the National Youth Services and Enterprise Finance, as well as the voucher program, you would then see that it becomes an increasing growth amount in terms of as the year progress. And this is based mainly on the fact that as the allocation increases, an expenditure line on our core programs also increases on the same trend as an increase in the total allocated budget. Our budgeting line then amounts to 328,964,000 over the three-year term on our core program. And then we have direct and indirect costs. Under that, we have program-related costs. These program-related costs are costs that are necessary to ensure that our programs are running and are costs related directly to these programs that I mentioned earlier on. And the total for that is 146,183,000 over the three-year term. This also shows a steady increase over the 3 years as and when our business development services, enterprise finance, national youth services expenditure increases. The same amount of increase happens in the project-related costs. Our salaries and wages is amounting to 379 million over the 3 year term. Support costs is then amounting to 358,751,000. You would then look at our total budget, which is currently sitting at 425 in the 2012 year end, as well as 442,961 in the 2013 year end. The total then, as our fixed budget, is sitting at 1.3 billion. But then we have an allocation of 1.2 billion. The majority of that amount is then funded through our collection mechanism we have within an organization, which is then amounting to 112 million. Over the three-year period, which then gives us a baseline allocation of 1.2 billion over the three-year term. The budget, in essence, is worked around within the limitation of the allocation we've received over the three-year term. If we can then move on to the second slide, I have then outlined the trend in the expenditure of the National Youth Development Agency as a summary as compared to the detailed breakdown of figures that I just mentioned now. Operational costs increased gradually within the 2013 and 2014 year, together with employee costs at 6.1% in 2013 and 5.5% in the 2014 year end. This increase is based on inflation on actual cost elements for the 2011 year end. The cost element includes other support costs as well as program-related costs. You would then see that our capital expenditure decreases substantially over the remaining 2 years, which is the 2018 year end as well as the 2014. This is due to the fact that on initial capital investment, the resulting effect would then result in our capital expenditure decreasing over the remaining 2 years. Our loans and investments increased steady with the 10% based on expected increase in the collection of funds from loans and investments in the organization. The cost elements include amounts relating to our enterprise finance division in the form of loans and investments to young entrepreneurs. As I mentioned earlier on, core programs as a separate line item increased with 8.7% in the 2013 year end, and then with a larger increase in the 2014 year end due to an increase in forecast in the core program of the organization. This cost element includes skills development costs, partnership expenses, NYS expenses, educational and skills costs, social cohesion, as well as economic participation costs. Operational costs only amount to 26% of the total budget expenditure in the 3 year period. In summary, all of the core programs increase on a more steeper basis based on the total allocation. If the total allocation then increases, this results in a direct increase in expenditure related to core programs, but all other expenditure line items are affected by inflationary increases. But if that allocation increases, it has a direct impact with an increase in the core expenditure of the organization. I thank you, Chair.
It is also important to note, Chair, that in the next 3 years, we have intentions to have a very steady increase in terms of the replenishing our staff complement. The National Youth Development Agency, as it has been spoken about earlier on, was a merger between two institutions, Msobong Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission. And ever since the merger, in real terms, the board has only employed the CEO administratively and some junior staff. But we have not really dealt with the issue of employing the executive management for the new entity, the National Youth Development Agency. And we have gone through that process of redesigning the organizational structure, and it has now received an approval from the board. We have already gone through the process of interviewing this executive manager. By next week or so, people will be receiving letters confirming their appointment as the executive managers for the National Youth Development Agency. As we begin the next financial year, our hope is that we will be starting with the new leadership for the National Youth Development Agency. And we must be able to emphasize that the new organizational structure is designed such that it responds directly to the mandate that is given by the NYDA in terms of the Act of Parliament, and accordingly it responds to the expectations of the young people out there to say we need to have accessibility, we need to have representativity in all municipal areas. Young people must be able to access our offices anytime, anywhere, and they must be walk-in, which are quite simpler for them to do. They must not leave Boland, travel all the hours to come to Cape Town to access the NYDA office. We must try and make sure that we decentralize the accessibility of those offices. So the new structure speaks to those issues, but also recognizing the fact that the NYDA, its character and form, says mobilize other stakeholders, and therefore you rely a lot on partnerships. You rely a lot on what you can have from the international community, business partnership, exchange programs, and so on. A lot of partnership programs that you can have with the provincial government, with the government departments, as well as municipalities and the NGOs. So we have got quite a new unit that will deal and manage the partnerships that we are talking about. We also enter into partnerships, for example, I always give this example, of Itala Bank in the KZN province, where we are able to assist young people through their fund by leveraging whatever that they are offering to a young person. So I think that we are on course for the next 3 years.
Good morning, I'm Sandra Mbeki,
thank you very much. We have quite a full plate in front of us, having then heard from the department and also looking at their strength plan. I would just be interested to maybe just to hear from the department, you know, in terms of the budget, which averages 380 million plus, you know, about 420 million per year over the next 3 years. How does how do you intend meeting these increased targets? Let me open for members then to also have a bite and interact with the department. Over to you, members. I'll see by way of indication of hands. Are you still digesting? I'm noting Honorable Member Maduna, Honorable Member Robinson, Honorable Member Kekana, and the Honorable Member over there. Thank you. In that order.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I want to thank NYDA for the presentation they just gave now. I've got just a few questions, actually. This thing of partnership facilitation. What does NYDA mean about this? And partnership, really, who are these partners? Because it's not here from the document yet. And I'm a bit worried about the count numbers, the 8,000 youth to rewrite grade 12 exams through its metric program. How do they, which provinces are they covering? Because really we've got 9 provinces, the 8,000, and the other numbers, where do they get the other numbers from? And then maybe my third one, I'll want to know the loan issue. Does NYDA charge any interest, and if they do, where does the money go to? Thank you, Jeff.
Honourable Member Robinson. Chair, I'll start with just a few, but I'd like to go through the document at a later stage as well. Just in terms of identifying the annual national youth development priorities, why would they change annually when they are supposed to inform the strategic plan across the NTEF period? I was also interested in the partnerships, the promotion, the lobbying and the advocating. How are we going to create a uniform approach? I'm also very concerned that we're given a lot of numbers. I don't know where these numbers have come from. Can you indicate how you have come upon those numbers? You're just giving us vast quantities. But what about dividing them up, for example, into the disabled? I'd like to know what specifically you're going to be doing. And we talk about creating jobs. Again, what sort of jobs? How are they going to be promoted? My colleague mentioned the 9 provinces, and I understand and I applaud the fact that you want to work in the rural areas. But this is such a vast country. How are we going to get to everybody? I think, again, of disabled people. How are they going to access your offices? How are you going to do all of this? It just seems to me to be a very vast project. And I'm also concerned about the overlap. You've got a lot of overlap of functions. I think education has been mentioned already. Cipro, what about labor? How are you going to relate your education to what basic education is going to do? Are you not, in fact, usurping their role? We've got a vast sum of money that has been granted to you, almost half of the presidency's full budget. How are we going to keep track of what you're doing with that money? if we don't have specific targets, if we don't have the KPAs not, listed as such, how are we going to come back and ask you in 6 months' time or a year, what have you actually achieved? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Sekana.
Yes, my interest once more, as you know, is on this artisan training. This is because we are told for every engineer, you'll need 6 artisans. So artisans go with engineers. And the youth might not go for all the academics, but I know a lot of them are interested to get skills that will put them into jobs that will be productive and be the kind of thing that can make a livelihood out of. It would be a waste of time for people to spend 15, 20 years at school, and after that they are unemployed, all that knowledge that gained they can use. So to produce the type of skills that are in line with the interests of the community is very important. If you could take us through the artisan category that you have, I mean, I hear you also playing a catalyst role. I can understand you can't do everything. You need to complement what other people are doing, you know, to produce a holistic approach. But with the artisans, I would like to hear the categories, those that are having experience, that CITAS can come in and finish training and give accreditation, and those that you'll be training yourself from level 0 up to the time they complete. That this is because, I mean, there are opportunities. Like I've said in the past, a carpenter today is not just taught how to repair. He's taught how to design. He can design kitchen units, he can design furniture, and in other words, he can open up his own factory and create jobs. So I'm just saying, what are the categories? How are you going to go about it so that we can really see at the end of the year how much you're achieving there?
Thank you, Honourable Member Kekana, Honourable Member Blatt.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm covered by 2 members of the committee, but I think I would like to know from the NYDA that have they signed the performance agreement? If so, with who? If not, why not? And I think I will come and have a bite in the next one. I just want to know that one because I'm covered. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just left one question there. We've got 26,600 youth to be supported, and we've got 281 entrepreneurs that will be assisted. What's the difference? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can I then give over to the entourage?
Yeah, thank you once again, Chair. Quite a myriad of questions, but nothing really difficult. You can be able to respond to all the questions with confidence. Let me start with the simpler questions and say that perhaps members should note that Section 3, Subsection 1G of the National Youth Development Agency Act reads as follows. The objects of the agency are to establish annual national priority programs in respect of youth development. Annual priority programs. So by legislation, we are compelled to actually have this annual priority program. There is no other option. However, the 3-year plan, in essence, responds to the budget allocation, in essence says what is it that we're going to do with it in the next 3 years. And accordingly, what wouldn't change substantially is the key performance areas, the key focus areas for youth development. It boils down to an understanding of what is it that you mean by youth development. When you say you are developing young people, what areas do you really need to focus on? And therefore, within those areas, what are the priority programs that we have got to focus on? For example, in our own MBSA, the next financial year, we are looking at National Youth Services, one program. We are also looking at the Green Economy as another program. We are looking at agriculture and agro-processing as another program for development. There's quite a myriad of those programs that would have been identified for us to focus on. Also, on infrastructure development programs, the participation of the young people thereof, we are also looking into that. Youth development should not be seen in isolation of generic human development. It should not be seen like that. So there will be cross-cutting issues, there will be overlap of issues, because by developing a young person, you still need to do exactly the same that you are doing when you are developing a human being, an adult or whatsoever. Now, in essence, what I'm trying to say to the committee is that when education, as a matter of example, when education has got the responsibility to provide education, it does not mean that we cannot impress on the fact that we need this education to be biased to young people, that they must focus very little on adult education and focus more on the education of a young person. That is exactly what we are supposed to be dealing with. And I think the question of the overlapping goes hand in hand with the issue of partnerships. To say, in all the programs that we have, I have read out the mission of the NYDA earlier on, and I also isolated some keywords to say our responsibility, amongst others, is to initiate, is to facilitate, is to coordinate youth development, amongst others. And therefore, we are supposed to do that working with other stakeholders that are dealing with youth development. Say, for example, you are dealing with the Department of Public Works or the Department of Human Settlement that builds houses. To what extent are those houses or the construction thereof actually benefits young people is an issue that overlaps also to us, because we have an interest of young contractors that are supposed to participate in the program. And when we have a program, for example, the Youth Build Program, that deals with the building of houses, and so when we do that in partnership with the Department of Human Settlements, wherein they provide the subsidies that they would normally provide outside youth development, provided for any other human being that requires a house, that requires a shelter over their head. But they would have ring-fenced a specific number that will be delivered by the young people. In that program, we'll also look into giving them the skills for bricklaying, giving them the skills as plumbers, as electricians, and so on, empowering them economically, giving them the skills so that they can be able to participate in the economy of the country. It's a program that you can only do in partnership with the other government departments and other stakeholders. For example, also the construction sector. We'll be working with the construction sector so that after the program, the training program, they also get certificates that are credible certificates that they can be able to go somewhere else and seek employment, or go somewhere else and say, I am an entrepreneur with the necessary skills that can be able to deliver some services. On education, as a matter of a second example, on partnerships, on education, on the Matric Rewrite program, we are working very closely with the Department of Education. We are not doing it in isolation. That is why we are even engaging the Department of Education to further assist us in lobbying the CETAs to make sure that they make the funds available so that a special focus area, being the young people that are out of school, is given attention so that they can be given a second chance. We understand it's an education program, but it's education that affects young people. It's not education that just flies from the sky. It has got an impact and bearing on the work that we are doing. So, in as much as every other department and provinces are doing some work in youth development, the fundamental question that we should be asking is, are the interventions properly directed? Is there a concerted effort which is aimed at achieving a particular goal at the national level? And the answer definitely is that we are speaking of the new approach of integrated and mainstream youth development, simply because we realize that indeed there is a problem in terms of the focus and understanding the impact that everybody is making towards youth development, and therefore you needed something that will pull all the efforts together and have a very clear agenda to say this is the impact that we want to make as a country on youth development, and therefore it needs to be put. So it remains one of the key responsibilities of the NYDA to ensure that everybody is focused for the purposes of youth development, and that whatever contribution is made, either by the private sector, public sector, NGOs and so on in youth development, we can actually account for it and be able to say, in as far as the youth problems are concerned, this is the impact we have made, this is the strides we have made over the past 2 years. In terms of the indicators and numbers that we have given, look, limited budget or not, youth development must happen. Young people are becoming very much impatient out there. And therefore, we have accepted as NYDA that we need to also come up with creative ways of ensuring that we deliver the services in numbers that young people are expecting. And by the way, the estimates we have given are based on the experience that we have had in the past 2 financial years. We have tested some of the indicators, we have delivered in some of the indicators, and our strength, we have been able to estimate to say, this is what we can do and this is how we can be able to do it. So when we say we are going to be able to create 89,000 job opportunities, we don't necessarily mean that the money from the NYDA will be responsible and solely responsible for that, but we are going to employ techniques of leveraging in the process. We are going to go, for example, to a fund somewhere and say to them, we know that the National Development Agency, not the Youth Development Agency, your responsibility is to focus on these projects. We have young people who are into those projects. However, your requirements are a bit stiff for them, or however the money that you require them, they don't have it. So we are asking you, if they are asking for 1 million loans, give them that 900,000, and the NYDA will be able to put on the table about 100,000. So that there is some leveraging, and the other organizations are able to assist young people. So we are not going to really bring about these solutions on our own and trying to be godly in terms of what services we are rendering. But indeed, we are going to invite all and sundry to try and make the impact that is supposed to be made. The 8,000 targets for the young people who are going to rewrite the matric program, it's all over the provinces. But for example, in the pilot project that we had, our selection of provinces was guided by the provinces that had the most failure rate. So we focused on those provinces and then we tried and made an intervention. But indeed, moving forward, our intention is to spread the numbers all over the provinces. 8,000 should not be seen or should not be expected to be 9,000 because we are having nine provinces necessarily. We have worked out the figure in terms of what we can be able to do given the limitations of the budget that we have, given the capacity that we have, and given the experience that we have just had in terms of the 2000 pilot project that we have just performed now. I think I have spoken to quite a number of questions, unless I skipped others, colleagues will assist me there. There is one issue of the performance agreement. We have signed, myself for example, I signed my performance agreement with the board. And those that are coming lower to me, they sign those agreements with me. The executive managers that we employed, they will sign the performance agreements with me. That is at an individual performance management level. But at an organizational performance management level, we are submitting to you, for example, now in a 3-year annual plan, telling you exactly how our performance will be in the next few years. And accordingly, we'll also submit an annual plan that spells out in that specific year what is it that we are going to do at an organizational level. And therefore, that it's on its own is deemed as performance agreement that is supposed to be in place, unless I did not understand the question. But at the organizational level, this is a 3-year plan. We have an annual plan that we normally come and discuss with you. We submit to the executive authority. At an individual level, everybody signs the agreement, myself with the board, and everybody else signs that agreement with me. Unless there's something that I have left, colleagues, in terms of the question. I'm reminded of the interest. The MIDA charges prime plus 2. In terms of the loans that we're giving, micro loan, SME loans, we're charging prime plus 2. We're charging far less than what an average bank would charge in South Africa. Because we are dealing with the young people, we are dealing with young people who are economically disadvantaged, we are dealing with young people who are unemployed, and we are trying mainly to put them in the mainstream. And when they repay these loans, they go back into the machine. They wait for the next young person to receive a loan. They don't go anywhere. So we receive that money, it goes back into the machine again. The next young person comes and gets the same recycled money. A loan. For example, in the next financial year, the allocation is 385 million. However, you can see that we have 50 million more that we are expecting to receive in terms of the loans that we have already given to the young people out there. And that money makes the total of our budget to be about 425 million in total. And that money goes back again for micro lending, for SME finance, and so on and so forth.
Thank you. Have all your questions been answered, or you want a second bite? Let me get the Honorable Member Bly, and then Honorable Member Robinson, and then Honorable Member Numalo.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. And thanks to the department. I would like to know, how is the NYDA monitoring and evaluating the sustainability of the 155,000 youth in the NYS project? Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I must just comment that I'm delighted at the confidence of our presenter saying that these things are all so easy. That's the confidence of youth, so well done. I was also interested in the fact that you keep saying what a limited budget you have. And yes, it is 47.9% of your budget. So, and then you still need to fundraise. So, yeah, that's interesting. But you have big ideals. But I think we must come down to specifics. I don't think you've explained exactly what the NYDA is doing besides getting the Department of Basic Education to lobby the CETAs for the matric rewrite. What specifically will you be doing? You mention education all the time being for the young. Well, I would have thought that was, you know, a given, because education is basically for scholars, learners, and then students. But ABIT is obviously important, but I understand that isn't part of your function. I'm just wondering why you keep saying this is, you know, education is for youth. I'd say that is obvious. But anyway, what specifically are you doing in order to assist the Department of Education? I'm still concerned that we are actually spending a lot of money that can be perhaps is in fact just being could be done entirely by the department. And then with reference to the KPAs, if KPAs did in fact change, why are they different from that which was reported in 2009 and 2010? I'll leave it for the moment. I've got more, but let's go on just with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question, slide 18. I just want to know, how does the NYDA intend implementing the integrated youth development strategy when in fact it aims to take entire year to get adopted by the board and the cabinet? Thank you, Chairperson.
Maybe this is not for now, for the future. We'd like to see the category of artisan being spread out. I mean, just for the car, you've got tenant teachers, you've got auto electrician, mechanics, and upholstery, those that do the interior of the car. For the houses, you know, you've got electrician, plumber, carpet, carpenter. For ladies, for example, textile industry is a big thing, and they are trained to
like wedding presses. They can open up boutiques. I think in the theater once saw about 27 altogether different skills of artisans that are there. I think the other thing is people don't know about what is there for them. You can train as a locksmith and open up a locksmith shop, hardware at the mall and so on. These things are there. Locksmith only trains for 6 months. But just, for example, for the sheriff to bring a locksmith around to open a house that is being repossessed, that is 900 rand. I think he'll make 900 rand in less than 30 minutes. And if you've got a list of 10 houses a day, that is money that they can make a livelihood. So I'm just saying that I think you should also ask for a whole list of all these artisan skills, because I know they are 27, so that our youth today know that these are the things that we can do and make a living out of. And thereafter you can say, for this particular skill, we train in so many people, you know, like people are saying we're working on targets, targets that are achievable, targets that can be checked out at the end of the year. So I'm just saying that may be something that you could give to us in the future.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Any other? Over to the department.
We have recently engaged with the Public Service Commission for an independent evaluation on the NYS program and the monitoring and evaluation thereof. We have done so because we thought it only prudent that an evaluation should be done by an organization that is not implementing, so that we can have a fair feeling of the impact that we are making in as far as the NYS program is concerned. However, monitoring and evaluation is part and parcel of our operations in the NYPA. We have a unit that specifically looks into all our programs and projects, monitoring and evaluation. So we do track the progress that our projects are making, and they recommend the necessary changes during the implementation and so on, and in the finality provide some evaluations in as far as our project and program is concerned. That begs for one to also indicate to the committee to say, even the metric rewrite program itself, the evaluation thereof shall be done, and we've already started with the process because we are currently implementing that project. We've already started, we're doing continuous evaluation. And a report shall also be tabled as to say, this is the impact it has made. As to our role in particular there, I don't know about others, but I have never seen a program or a project in my lifetime that gave young people a second chance to rewrite their matric by the Department of Education, for argument's sake. Even when we spoke to them at the beginning, you know, they had very little interest. They said, no, but these are young people who have failed their matric, so why would you want to give them an opportunity? And we had to go to town explaining why we think majority of these young people have failed. For example, you have a physical science student from Zingi Zingi village in Giani that is expected to know what bicarbonate sodium is when he has not actually seen a laboratory in his entire life. So what we have done is to basically employ a service provider that has got the facilities, the necessary facilities, to expose these young people to these processes of education, to give them the opportunity to know exactly what it is that they are dealing with. And we are only hoping, like I said earlier on, that it will bring about the results that are envisaged. And the role of the NYDA in the main, again, there was a very facilitative role. But when you come in and you say to people, we think that a second chance project is going to work, and they say, you know, they don't believe so. According to their experience, it's not going to work. And then you put up a pilot project, and the reason why we are expending money on that is basically to say, I am confident it's going to work. And that is what we are doing in the pilot project. And we'll be able to prove at the end of the project that indeed it did work. And therefore, a need for rolling out of another 8,000 in the pipeline. We are already engaged, like I said, with the Department of Education. And they have given a commitment
to say that they will be able to mobilize and galvanize citizens to also contribute towards that process of symmetric rewrite. And by the way, right from the beginning when we were engaging on this project, the Minister of Higher Education was always abreast to say this is what we are intending to do, and he has always supported. And the only level of resistance that we had was at, from the angle of the sitters, and they really wanted to see if this really works or is it really going to yield the results that we're going to do. But I can only beg the members of the committee to be patient for that evaluation on the pilot project. We'll be able, if it is required, that we make a special presentation on that project, on that program, we'll be able to come and present it before you. Indeed, the budget is limited. But we are saying we are not going to do anything because the budget is limited. At least that's one thing that needs to be appreciated. The fact that the budget is limiting us, I will take you to town in terms of explaining, for example, what is it that we mean when we say the budget is limited. Parliament commissioned a due diligence study to be conducted on the merger of Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission. And that due diligence conducted by professionals indicated that for the new entity to continue to work as if it was work as usual, as if Umsobomvu was still providing the products and services that they were providing at the same pace, at the same speed, as if NYC was busy with the advocacy and lobby as usual, the new entity needed a financial injection of 600 million per annum. That is what the due diligence said. The due diligence that came before we even joined the NYDA, that brought about the merger of the two entities, indicated that at least 600 million. And given the mandate, that's the new mandate that is given to the new development agency, and given the expectation that we are supposed to have a footprint almost all over the country, as the member also asked, how are we going to make sure that a disabled child in a very vast country like South Africa is able to access these offices? These are the expectations that young people have on us, and it's not avoidable, unfortunately. They are expecting us to have an office in Poland. They are expecting us to have an office in the deep rural areas of Eastern Cape. And I don't think it's a matter of choice for us to do that. But the budget that is given for us to establish those offices is a bit problematic. You go, for example, to KZN and you negotiate with municipalities and you say to them, please, we are asking that you assist us to establish an office so that your young people can receive the service here. And the municipalities are responding to you. You know we are a poor municipality. You are a national entity which is supposed to bring money and assistance to us, but you are coming to us, you are asking us to inject resources into you. Because they understand that with the conception of the NYDA, being the new animal to deliver on youth development in the country, comes a great deal requirement for financial injection, which we have not been able to realize. Let alone the fact that the due diligence was quite clear to say, please, for this organization to work, you need to put on the table 600 million. That was not met. We were given only one third of what we requested when we came in, having analyzed everything. And I'm glad that even the organizational structure, the footprint that we have put in place, actually confirms that our mandate requires us to actually go in that direction of that big financial injection that we need to have. So indeed, we still remain convinced that despite our efforts of having to fundraise and do all sorts of things, but for us to have this footprint, for us to establish the basic infrastructure, we require that financial injection. The KPAs, they did change indeed from the first ones that were presented and this one. And you will appreciate that we are new leadership into the NYDA. We come in and we get to understand the National Youth Development Agency Act. We get to understand the mandate that is given in terms of the Act by the legislation. And then you look at what was done just to put together an organization in 1999, just to have the organization running. You realize that there were gaps indeed. So you begin to fill up those gaps. You change therefore the KPAs in response of what is expected of you. And we believe that the KPAs that we have presented before you are the KPAs that are directly responsive to what the Act is requiring of us, towards what the policy as adopted by Parliament requires of us to respond also to the expectation of an average young person out there. The Integrated Youth Development Strategy is a project, especially the compilation thereof, it's a project that we started in the current financial year. Highly participative, involving information, involving young people from the provinces, involving even representatives of the provinces of other youth commissions and NGOs and so on and so forth. And that consultative process culminates into a national consultative forum where the draft strategy, having collated all the information, is now going to be presented before the national leadership of the youth commissions for them to finally reflect on that and for cabinet to finally adopt. And I think it can only serve us good when we put in place a strategy, a plan to guide the development of young people in this country, influenced by the young people themselves. Our approach to the IYDS has been more of a bottom-up approach. We have avoided at all costs the top-down. We have avoided this thing of going to the youth and bombarding them with what we think is a panacea for their problems. We have said to the young people, give us what you think will be solutions towards the problems. And that is what the IYDS really seeks to achieve. And this is the main reason why it took very long. Because there is a democratic participating process which was not yet really concluded. We are still engaging in as far as that is concerned. And this IYDS, in terms of the legislation, it says it is a plan and strategy for South Africa. It is not a plan and strategy for the NYDA. The NYDA will be the custodian to ensure that the strategy is implemented. But we expect departments to draw wisdom and components of their own work from the strategy. They will draw their own indicators from the strategy. It's a strategy for all and sand. The private sector must be able to say to us, the strategy says we must create 5 million jobs for young people. Of those 5 million jobs in the next 5 years, what is it that the private sector is effectively going to be able to do? So the strategy speaks to the whole country, doesn't speak just to the NYDA. What I presented to you now is a strategic plan for the NYDA, the corporate strategy, organizational plan for the NYDA towards our work on youth development. But the IYDS is a plan for everybody. It's going to guide each and everybody. Therefore, the implementation will be expected to happen across. We expect departments to have programs of action to say how are we going to respond to the strategy. We expect the private sector, we expect the NGOs to do the same. And our role, once again, will remain that of initiating, of coordinating, of facilitating and implementing some of the projects that we have got to implement. So indeed, we are quite confident that once the document is finalized, once everybody has agreed upon it, at least it will shed the light as to say which direction this country needs to take in as far as its development is concerned. On the artisans, I need to make the members comfortable to say, in the presentation that I've just made, I mentioned but a few. I spoke of the few artisans, but what we are saying to the house is that our direction and focus has shifted from more of business management training, entrepreneurship training, to also include artisan training. And there's quite a great deal of subsections of this program that we are really considering and implementing as we are moving along. We must also be able to indicate to this house that we are working with the FETs in that regard, because once again, due to the partnership that we have with the Department of Education, they've advised us to say that for us to access the monies of the SITAs, quite simply, they must be done in the manner in which the SITAs are requiring. Our project proposals must be done in the manner in which the SITAs are requiring. And that includes working with accredited institutions such as the FETs to identify all sorts of artisan training that would be required. So as and when we engage, we discover that there is an FET that offers skills on locksmith training and so on and so forth. We'll be able to roll out that program. I think it's a matter that we need to be comfortable with. Yeah, I think these were the last set of questions that were asked to us. Yeah. There's an addition, sir, from my colleague before we can take the rest of the question.
To you, Chairperson, just to clarify a bit more about the matric rewrite, because it keeps coming up. We are not talking about young people who are writing supplementary examinations. We are talking about young people who fall between the cracks, and we link it back to our strategy. If you look at the inverted triangle there, it shows you that the biggest category of young people that the NYDA has to deal with is young people who are unskilled and they're out of the educational system. That means they're not even, they won't be admitted into a school. And they're around the ages of 22, 23, so they can't go into formal education. So what we provide is a service that nobody else provides. So we find a service provider who implements the program on our behalf, who takes them through classes like they are in school, but nobody else would have done that for them. So it's basically giving them a second chance in that manner, ensuring that they're able to participate in the education system yet again. And the second thing that's important about that program is that it is aligned to the curriculum of the department. So you may find that they wrote their exams 2-3 years ago, the curriculum has changed. So they need specific attention. They need to be handheld much more than someone who's in school. So that's a critical component of the program. So the 8,000 that we are currently looking at is really because of budgetary constraints. We would have loved to roll out that program to a large number of young people, given the fact that we are aware that most of our young people fall outside of the education system, and therefore they are not able to access economic opportunities because they don't have the necessary skills.
Thank you. I see we still have Member Robinson, Member Bly, any other? Member Kekana, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for that explanation about this top-up program and according to the cracks. I think that was clear, and that has certainly answered some of my questions and justified the need for it. But now I'll follow up on that too, please. I was a teacher once upon a time, so I'm very interested in education and to make sure that everybody gets the best chance in life. Who are these people that you are linking up with to do this top-up filling in the cracks, if it's not the education department as such? All right, that's number one. And then I do understand your concern about the finances, and of course I have this too. It is a vast amount of money you do have available, although you say it's not enough. We just want to make sure the money is being used wisely and that we are going to get the best result from the expenditure. Now, one question I had was from on page 25, your employee costs. And I note those are over 50% expenditure is on staff, and generally that is considered too high in any business. So should not the bulk of the programs of the budget actually go on programs and implementation and perhaps less on paying salaries? Using money wisely as well. I just wonder about your plans for celebrating things like Youth Day and perhaps Women's Day if this happens to come in. How are those going to be celebrated? I'm not a proponent of big festivities, lots of eating, drinking, caps and T-shirts, because I think those things are not sustainable. But if we can celebrate Youth Day or something else in a way that is going to last, that is going to be permanent, I think that would make a lot of us happier to think that this is going to be something which can be used by many people over a period of time and not just have it going on a party. I'm still concerned about young people with disabilities. You have mentioned the point that I raised about distances, and I acknowledge this is a major problem we have in our vast country. But how much of your budget is actually going on or for people with disabilities? You know, I feel that people with disabilities are so neglected in our country. If you think about just the schooling system itself, have you perhaps considered talking to the education department about that, because many people can't be mainstreamed and they have to fit into or have to be given an opportunity is this something that you might be able to link up with your programs in the rural areas? I know of some young people who have to travel for 2 or 3 days by combi and then have to wait for a long time to get to a school for the disabled, for the deaf, in fact, in KZN. And, you know, these are challenges. We've got many, many disabled people who may be deaf, for example, but are extremely bright and can be productive, but they need the help, and I don't think we are responding sufficiently. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you again to the department. My follow-up question, Chairperson, the department made mention that they will table a report to the committee. Mine is just to ask when, because we must have time frames. We cannot just say we are going to table a report and we don't know when. We must work in time frame. I would like to know that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is not a question, but just another idea. That, you know, if you look at Soweto and youth are unemployed, and you're thinking that, I mean, for this thing of testing industry where girls get trained how to design and so on, you then realize, I mean, the market is there. I think you should start exploring with schools whether you can have part of your youth as a program getting tenders to supply the also with uniforms. Para with nurses uniform, there's an army there, army with even NPSL, these guys who run around kicking football. You must do your uniforms. Go to Kivam Gamu or the top official and talk to them that, look, we have a problem with your youth, their own days, and can't you get resources circulating within and helping us with these youth that are idle because you're creating a market for them. I just think there's such a big, big supply and opportunities that we need to explore. And if we explore those type of opportunities, which are there for us for grabs, we could make a big difference in our people's lives. So I just think you should think very carefully about this thing of artisans, even hotel shoes, school shoes. I mean, if they supply that and manufacture them and they establish, they creating jobs, that would be the right way for us to do. You see, the point is the opportunities have never been for, and I don't want to sound Mrs. Robertson racist, but this was blacks were not allowed to do. Open factories, form partnerships, manufacture, and therefore the culture is not there. And you as a youth, who's a new generation, you're coming at a time when this thing is changing and opportunities are there. And unless we grab them, things will just happen the old way. And unfortunately, the whole country will cry foul of unemployment, crime, and all these type of things. So this transformation where you actually are at a turning point to change things is very important. And you need to carefully think strategically. I know Mrs. Robertson, Chair, I spoke to her and said, I know you are so motherly, but I was surprised when you deserted your children. I've never seen a mother desert children, and she was quite embarrassed.
I think I forgot to acknowledge the presence of the Deputy Minister. Welcome, Deputy Minister. And I'm sure one of the reasons was that, you know, we are so concentrated on this, input, as Member Daniels indicated, that, you know, as mothers, we are always worried about our children. And I think one of our concerns is the budget, you know, this budget which is so limited, especially if you look also on slide 17. If you look at the key performance, the KPA 2 and 3, you know, you look at the cost. And we just wonder as to how exactly are you going to be able, you know, to
the department is going to be able to cover this.
Mm-hmm.
But before then you respond, I saw your hand, or are you responding to Danny? Because I'm not going to allow you to respond to
him. It's not specifically to Honourable Danny, but I do feel I need an explanation to the wider committee. You weren't here at the time as well. As you say, I am a mother, and I love my chonchos under my wing, and I care about children and young people. But in the previous committee meeting, we were requested to leave the meeting because it was felt that we don't have the proper accountability structure. However, I feel what we are doing here is very important. So you'll note I'm back. But you will hear me calling again on and again for a proper oversight committee on the presidency and on the NYDA. But I'm very much back, and it was not my volition. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can I ask the department, but not to respond to the last one? Can you respond then to what members have raised in terms of, you know, our subject for today?
Okay, thank you very much. Currently, we are operating from the staff that we have inherited through Section 197 of the Labour Relations Act from the former NYC and the UIF. And currently, since the last financial year and the current financial year, to a certain extent the next financial year, our staff cost is actually hovering around 42%. 42%. We are still not happy with that. We believe that we should be having lesser. But how do you do that when actually you require more human resources to deliver upon the products and services that are expected of you? And the solution is not on cutting down on staff. The solution is not giving us what we requested right from the beginning. The solution is not giving us what the due diligence said you must give this new organization. I believe that we have got the right staff design, and the numbering that we have in terms of the staff complement, I think it's appropriate, it befits the mandate that we are faced with, what we are charged with. What is not befitting is the allocation that we are given. That is what we are talking about. And I think for us to meet that percentage issue of 30% threshold staff expenses, less than 30%, because currently we are sitting at 42%, there should be an increase on the financial injection. It's the only solution. Because we've got the responsibility to meet the expectations of the young people out there, but at the same time you have got this normative consent from the Treasury of less than 30%. But you can't compromise that expectation of the young people out there. Because whether you like it or not, they want to see a youth development officer when they go to a Kikari Pakistani municipality. They want to see an NYDA office, they want to see people, warm bodies that they will interact with. So I can't cut down on those people. I can only increase. But commensurate to the mandate that is given to the NYDA. So members can be comfortable that we still believe that we are being rational in terms of the staff complement, though the expenses is sitting at 42%. It's what we inherited, and we are intending to maintain it until we fight for better budget. Even the new organizational structure, there's quite a lot of vacancies that we've created. But we are not going to be filling them until we have the necessary financial resources. Because it will be committing suicide if we are going to be employing people and just paying salaries to people and not be able to implement it in the slightest program. Then there's no reason for existence of the NYDA. But indeed, because we recognize the fact that we're going to deliver on products and services, on capital projects, that is why we are saying we're going to maintain the percentage roundabout where we found it. And I think that answers the question of the staff, a complement. And by the way, 42% includes even the PABs as currently appointed. We are still hovering within 42%.
Thank you.
I think Debo has got passion to speak to this issue of the metric rewrite program. I'm programmed to speak about it when I have a formal report in front of me. Now, I think there's a question that says, who are you linking with exactly in the metric rewrite program? I will request Debo to quickly respond to that, then I'll come back.
Thank you, Chairperson. The service providers that we have identified are various in the various provinces. We are working through the Star Schools program, and they are implementing for us. There's also the Nelson Mandela Institute that's also implementing for us in the Eastern Cape. We try to ensure that we standardize the requirements from the service provider side. So we're not implementing the project directly ourselves. We're doing the facilitation and ensuring that it takes place.
This year's commemoration of June 15 is expected to take place in the Northwest, another rural province, alongside the celebration, the festivities of June 16. We are also planning to have a consultative forum during that day, where young people will gather together and discuss the strategy that we just introduced to you briefly, the IYDS at the national level. So we are expecting that we will have fruitful discussions and we will be able to chart the way forward for the country and say, as young people, this is what we're expecting. This is what we think will work for us. So I think that is the flair we are adding onto the celebrations for this year in particular. But also, I think it is in our intention to also, during that day, roll out most of our NIS projects to deal with issues of awareness on HIV and AIDS, to deal with issues of awareness on the abuse of drugs, hunger, nyota, and so on. To utilize young people effectively along all the categories that we have identified in the NIS to actually make an impact in the community, in the people, in the country in general. So we'll be also having activities beyond us gathering in a stadium and listening to the address of the president, listening to the address of the chair of the NIDA, but we will also do some community work to make sure that indeed we utilize the day quite fruitfully. We have not yet finalized the plan for the celebrations and the commemoration of June 16 this year, but very soon we will, because discussions have already started, very soon we will be able to show a plan and say this is what we are having as a plan. The report on the conclusion of the metric rewrite, I thought we will talk about that as well. The report, the time frame that was asked, the report to that effect, we will be able to table the report once the project is concluded. It's an evaluation report, so we will be able to table it. Remember, it's a pilot project. You evaluate it at the end and conclude and say, was it fruitful, was it not fruitful, can we go on, can we not go on? And so we'll be able, right at the end of the year, as and when they finish writing their metric, as and when they have their results, we'll be able to conclude the report and be able to bring it back and say, I see that this committee is interested very much on that project, so we'll be able to bring it as a special issue. I think that was about it. June 16, a report, and how much of the budget actually goes to the disabled? I think that's the only question that we have not looked into. I don't know if I would be technical in putting it this way. We might not have a special ring-fenced budget, say this goes to the disabled, because we have an overall budget which goes to the young people. And this budget has got biasness for young people coming from the rural area, has got biasness for young people living with disabilities, young women, and those that are out of school, particularly unemployed. That is our focus area. So we could be benefiting even much more than the national threshold of saying that the department needs to benefit at least 5% of the disabled people. We could be going beyond that, depending on the business plans that we are receiving, for example, if they are seeking funding, if they've got certain things that they think they can do. We are in engagement almost on a daily basis with the young people living with disabilities. For example, there is going to be a national summit for young people who are blind here in Cape Town. NYDA will be part and parcel of that process. We will be contributing something towards a summit they will be having here in Cape Town. And it's not fruitful and wasteful expenditure. It's not for a party or a jamboree. Because we are coming here to present again to them an IYDS. We are coming to say to the young people living with a disability of being blind, as young people, what can you contribute towards this integrated youth development? So we are utilizing their platform to actually advance our own a mandate as given by the legislature. So we are indeed paying attention to the young people living with disabilities in this country. And just to remind the members of the committee, one of our board members, Nkwebo Khumalo, comes from an organization of young people living with disabilities. He is also blind.
Thank you very much. Okay. No, I will give you an opportunity to say what you want to say, Madam. I know you are very passionate about this committee, so I won't deprive you. I just wanted to say to the department that, you know, because I think we are all committed in this committee. And what you have input on this will remain vivid in our minds, to say that when you come back and give a report, we will be concentrated on those very specific areas, you know, that you were emphasizing on. And we would really like to advise you that when you come for your report, you must disaggregate the information so that you get less questions from members about people with disabilities and so forth. So we are really going to hold on to what you more in particular, because we are concerned about this budget, which is so limited, and yet you know, looks like we are very ambitious with huge programs that we are coming up with. Let me allow Member Robinson to say what she wants to say before we close.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say I'm delighted to hear about the summit you're going to be having for the blind, especially since it's going to be in Cape Town. And I'd just like to ask whether we could be invited. If you inform us about some of these very positive things you are doing, I think it would be helpful for the Portfolio Committee to see you in action. Thank you.
Okay, I think that was a comment. And let me thank the department. Oh, before we close, I think the Honourable Deputy Minister would like to say something. What to you?
Thank you, Chairperson. Before you close, we just want to say thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to come and present, as a department or as a presidency. We want to say that the comments and the questions, the input from members will make us wiser and be able to deliver the service that we are expected to the young people of the country and change their lives because they are the future. And the last letter, and probably on a light note, but serious, is that we want to appreciate that all members were here today when we made this presentation, including Member Robinson. Unlike the last time, we felt a bit neglected, not only as
children, but you know, also as a department, because we think that issues of structures of parliament are not supposed to be our problem. We come here to the committee hoping that the committee will welcome us because the committee has invited us. But when they left, we felt a bit helpless. We didn't know what to do. And that's why we want to appreciate. And we think that the relevant structures of parliament are the ones that can handle the questions or the complaints that members of parliament have instead of us, you know, because somehow we just felt either we were neglected or we're punished for something that we are helpless also to it. We don't know what to do with it. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Indeed, this falls within ourselves here in Parliament. And I don't think as a department you really have anything to do with it. But as members of Parliament, we will look into the matter ourselves and resolve this amongst ourselves without having to involve the department. Once more, let me thank everyone, the media, the department. Let me thank members of parliament for having, you know, engaged in such a rich and fruitful discussion. And I hope that when we meet again, it is going to be in the same spirit that we met today. Thank you very much. And the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.